things in this morning, but I assured him we'll be okay, Kim. It is possible. All things are possible. Miracles do happen, Kim. And we'll still be out in time. Don't worry. I want to talk today. It's a second session, really. Last week I was speaking on finishing the race, and today I didn't finish what I was talking about. So today I just wanted to pick up on that because I felt there was something quite important which will be a challenge and an encouragement to us. So finishing the race, and then as John said, we'll have a short little break just to turn around, and then we'll have a presentation. Now, if you're a visitor today, you're very welcome to stay for the whole morning. But the second part of the morning, we're going to be looking at some nuts and bolts about a building and where we go with that. So you're welcome to stay and join us. If not, I'm sure we could arrange for some coffee and everything, and you could sit outside, but feel free to do whatever you want to do. Okay, 2 Timothy 4, verse 7 to 8. We looked at this verse last week, and this is Paul speaking to his spiritual son, Timothy, towards the end of his life. He says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. It will come up on here, won't it? I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. What a brilliant testimony for somebody at the end of their life to be able to declare, I fought the fight and I finished the race. That call of God on my life, I have completed. And Paul is saying, and I'm looking forward to now receiving that commendation, that crown from the Lord, when I go and stand before him to hear him say, well done, good and faithful servant. You've completed that which I've called you to do. It's an amazing claim to make. It wasn't easy for Paul. His life was really tough. Most of the way through, so much persecution, so much hardship, but he kept going to the end, and he accomplished that which God called him to accomplish. And then I quoted John 17, verse 4, where Jesus says, I've brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. You see, for each of us, there is a calling. For each of us, there's a plan. God has purpose. God has destiny. And we were singing about bringing glory to Jesus in some of the songs that we were singing. Well, one way we do it is by being faithful to that which God's called us to and by completing that which he's called us to. And just as Jesus can say to his Father, I've brought you glory on earth by completing that which you've called me to do, so we will be able to do and say the same thing. Amen. So that's an encouragement for each of us. You know, there is a plan. Don't give up on it. There's a plan that God has for us. And last week we looked at least an aspect of God's plan, God's dream, the redemption of the world, that we might be fruitful. And we looked at a number of scriptures which talked about that. And we looked at what being fruitful was and the different aspects and different types of fruit which God's called us to be faithful in. I wanted to refer to a parable last week, and that's what we're going to do now. Matthew chapter 13. It's all about fruitfulness, but the challenge which the Lord brings us is what I wanted to bring to us too. So this is the parable of the sower. I'm not going to read the first part of it. In fact, we've gone on a little bit, but never mind. I'm not going to read the first part of it, but it will explain as we go through. I want to just read Jesus' explanation of the parable. So the story is about a sower. And he went out and he sowed his seed. And it fell in four different parts. Some fell on the path, some on rocky soil, some among weeds, and some on good soil. And this is what Jesus says as to regards to the explanation. Matthew 13, verse 18. Listen to then what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in his path. This is the seed sown along the path. Sorry, sown in his heart. The one who received the seed that fell on rocky places is the man who receives the word and at once receives it with joy. But since he has no root, he lasts only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, he quickly falls away. The one who received the seed that fell among the thorns is the man who hears the word. But the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke it, making it unfruitful. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. Hallelujah. There's good soil for the seed to fall in. And when the seed falls in good soil, fruit comes, and loads of it too. And we saw from John 15 last week that it's bearing much fruit, which brings much glory to the Lord. But I mentioned last week, and I felt there were weapons of mass distraction which the enemy wants to sow and drop in our hearts to prevent fruitfulness. And this parable brings some of that about. So the first point to make, The first point to make is we never grasp it. The seed that fell along the path illustrates the fact that this word of God was sown, but it's never borne fruit. It's never taken root. The purpose of God for our lives, that anointing, that enabling us to be fruitful and to make a difference, to change the world, we've just not seen it. We've just not got hold of it. We have no dream. We have no sense of God's purpose and call on our lives. We get up every day. We go to work. We make money. We spend it. We go to sleep. And we do the same every day. Some may be better at it than others. They make lots of money. They spend lots of money. They have lovely houses, drive fast cars. But they miss God's plan because they've never grasped it in the first place, that he called them with a plan and a purpose to be fruitful, to bear loads of fruit. They don't understand how significant they are. You may not understand how significant you are in God's plans and purposes, and the seed dies. The enemy snatches it away. You may have heard it many times, but it's just not gone in. You've just not been able to receive it. Ephesians 1, verse 18, Paul says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance. Paul is praying that revelation will come to each one of us. There is a plan. There is a focus. There is a dream. There's a destiny that God's got for each of us. And Paul says to the Ephesians church, I'm praying that that revelation, that that understanding will come in the heart, that you might run with it and know it and see what God's called you for. Okay, so hopefully there's none here in that first category, but there might be. The seed's been sown, but for one reason or another, that revelation and that understanding has never come, and we won't be fruitful. Number two. The seed that fell upon the rocky ground. We're not consolidated. Next one, please. Jesus says here, it fell among the rocks, but it never took root. What's consolidation about? We talk about consolidation here at LifeSpring. Consolidation is about strengthening in the faith. And it may be that people have come forward to the front, or they've expressed a commitment at Refresh, or in your cell. Maybe they've even been filled with the Holy Spirit. And there's an immediate response, but it goes no further. They need to be consolidated. And this rocky soil is the wrong place to go down. You need good soil to go down into. The seeds need to be watered, or they're going to die. Amen. There needs to be that strengthening in our faith. Discipleship is important. We need to be helped to grow spiritually. When we make that initial response, we are babes. We have been taken out of the kingdom of darkness, been transferred into the kingdom of light, and it's just totally different. It's opposites. And we need the help of church. We need the help of cells. We need leaders. We need peers which can help us grow and be encouraged in the faith. You'll never do it by yourself. You'll never do it by giving your hand to the Lord, putting up your hand one day, saying, I'm a Christian, and never get connected again. There needs to be that consolidation, and that's one reason why church is so important. We need to be teachable. And the Bible will help. I don't mean to say that in any condescending way. This has got all the answers which we need. But when you're a new Christian, you'll need more than a book. You're going to need that explanation, that unfolding, that understanding. You're going to need those connections with people and relationships growing, that the book becomes life and the Spirit of God flows through us and touches us. Otherwise, thank you. Otherwise, Jesus says, when difficulties come, maybe Mickey taking at school or bullying or at home or wherever it might be, or temptation, to stay firm and faithful becomes so hard because there's no root. Then other attractions come in and God gets relegated simply to an add-on, when in fact he actually wants to take over the whole of your life. That's good news, by the way. That's not bad news. That's absolutely glorious. He wants to take over the whole of your life and change it completely from the bad into totally good. But we don't see it. We don't get strengthened. And God just becomes an add-on. 1 Thessalonians, just a verse here, a couple of verses. Paul says to them, the church, new believers, new Christians, you became imitators of us and of the Lord, and you welcomed the message. That's part of the heart of being consolidated. You follow those who are following the Lord, like they did here. We welcome the message with an open heart. In 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 11 to 12, Paul goes on to say, for you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, urging you to live lives worthy of God. That's what consolidation is about, like a father cares for his children. Paul says, so we've been caring, we've been encouraging you. It's hard to move from darkness into light, but we want to encourage you. We want to comfort, we want to strengthen. We want to urge you, help you understand that that way of life isn't appropriate now. Might take a while to change through, but God's got better plans. All part of consolidation. Hallelujah. So that's the second area. And if we don't get consolidated and strengthened, Jesus says you're not going to bear fruit. But he wants us to bear fruit. Number three, and this is probably the main area which I wanted to touch on today, is we get so easily distracted. And that's the enemy's strategy. You see, Jesus came to visit a house. Two sisters were living there, two friends of him. And Martha, and I've got to say, she's a bit more like me than I wish she was, but Martha could see all the needs. You know, I'm a practical sort of person. I've got a guest here. Need a nice tidy home, we need some nice food, we want to make them welcome, we need to get some wine, we've got to make it hospitable, we want Jesus to feel really, really welcome in this place. And all my sister is doing is just sitting there listening to Jesus, just listening to his words while I'm in the kitchen preparing this, that and the other and da 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 da. And she goes to complain to Jesus. And the scripture says, but Martha was distracted. And Jesus says to her, Martha, Martha, you're worried and you're upset about many things. But only one thing is needed, and Mary's chosen that, which is better, and it won't be taken away from her. And in the context here, it was to sit at the Lord's feet and just receive wisdom and words of life and encouragement and understanding. But many of us can be like Martha, and we need Marthas as well. Otherwise, Jesus would be pretty hungry. Yeah, we need people to prepare food as well. But it's to do with priorities, isn't it? And many of us are so busy in LifeSpring. But not just LifeSpring, in Reading. But not just Reading, it's this part of England. You go to other parts of England, there's a slower pace of life. We are so busy. We have so much to do. There's work to go to. There's children to taxi. There's meals to cook, there's tennis to play, there's relatives to visit, there's got to spend time with our children, time with our spouse, and all seems so important, and there's this thing called church somewhere in the mix of it all. But then, of course, there's Facebook, and there's Coronation Street and Neighbours, and then there's golf with my mates, and there's football training, and we're staying up late watching TV or playing with our computer games, and I don't know how I can, I'm so busy. You know, I can't fit in the church is making me too busy. Don't be deceived. That's nothing to do with the church. That's nothing to do with the church. That's your life. You've been distracted. You have filled your life up with so much that you wonder why your heart's not hot or warm for the Lord. You've got so many distractions, and your heart has maybe grown cold, and you've lost that same passion and vision which you once had. Jesus said that's what would happen. That's what this parable's about. He said that is what would happen if you allow all these distractions to come into your life. And at one moment, we would have given anything and everything for the gospel, and to see people saved, and to see cells grow, and to et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But now everything's an effort. Everything's a cost. And some of us feel it's too high a price to pay, so we've gone back. And we've forgotten that actually God's got a call on your life. And it's to be fruitful. It's to be fruitful. That's God's plan and God's purpose. But we've got too busy for the things of God. Distractions are usually other attractions which have just come in. And we've enjoyed them so much. We've given so much energy and effort to them that we're too tired then to serve the Lord. You see, that's how sin first came in. Do you remember the story? Adam and Eve, they were fulfilling the purpose of God. They walked together every day. There was fellowship. There was communion. They were fulfilling the mandate to rule, to fill the earth with his glory. And then the enemy says, yeah, but look at that beautiful fruit. They weren't interested in that fruit before because they met with God and God had a call on their lives. But now look at that fruit, and they take their eyes off what they, well, that is nice, isn't it? That is really nice. But you can't have that, can you? No, we can't have that. It does look a little bit better. Actually, what I'm doing, I'm wondering whether it's the best thing anyhow. Why don't I do the fruit and all this? And so the enemy... So the enemy persuades them to take the fruit, to be distracted from God's call and God's purpose, and they've got the fruit and they've lost everything else. And we know the end of the story. They were driven from the garden. Sin came in, pride came in, arrogance came in. They were unable to complete the will of God for their lives because they got distracted. That's how easy it is for each one of us. God's plan of blessing and fellowship were hijacked. And what looked so good ended up in death and toil. So like Martha, we can be easily distracted. The parable talks about two areas. Worries of life is the first one. Fear and worry will cripple our effectiveness and fruitfulness. Worried about your family, worried about your money, worried about your job or lack of a job, worried about paying the rent or paying your mortgage, worried about the future, worried. Fear and worry will cripple us. God is our provider. God is our healer and restorer. Don't put your trust in pension funds. Don't put your trust in government policy or in your wealth and health. Yes, we need to plan wisely, but God is the only one, ultimately, that we can trust. And we trust in his faith and his goodness, his love and his mercy. Amen. So don't worry. This is what Jesus says. Oh, you have little faith. Why do you worry? Saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? The pagans, the non-Christians, those in the world run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So don't worry about tomorrow. Church, we need to hear that. We need to trust the Lord for the future as well as for the present, and not to worry. If we're following him and putting him first, we can trust that he's going to make provision for all that's needed in our life. Worry and fear cause us to lose focus and we become unfruitful. But secondly, in this area here, it's the deceitfulness of wealth. That also leads to unfruitfulness. You see, there's a spirit behind wealth and money. The more we have, the more we want. And it never satisfies. Jesus says, thinking it will satisfy us is a deception. And I think if we're truthful, each one of us here knows that. The more we've got, we want more. I've got an iPhone 3G. The new one's come out. But I haven't even got the next one yet. But I heard my son had been given one, the old one, the iPhone 4. I thought, I want an iPhone 4. I've got a 3G. I was so pleased with that a couple of years ago when I got that phone. But I want the next one. It never satisfies. There's always more to go for. There's always more to get. Don't deceive yourselves in thinking that the more you have, the more satisfied you will be. It's not true. It's not true. There's deception in wealth. Money or mammon. It controls our capitalist culture. It's a god. And our culture is driven by making money and wealth. That's why we're in the mess we're in. That's why all across Europe, anyhow, probably the world, we're having to cut back. We haven't got what we thought we had and what we want. We were living beyond our means because there's a spirit behind this that says, I just want more. I'm never satisfied. I'm never satisfied. I want more bedrooms. I want faster car. I want a better iPhone. I want this. I want that. We just keep going. I hope you're agreeing with me. Paul says, I've learned the secret of being content in every situation. That is a key. That is a big key. I've learned the secret. He goes on to say, in bad times when I'm hungry, I'm content. And in good times when I've got plenty, I'm content. It wasn't like he lived up here all the time. He went up and down. But he learned a contentfulness. He learned contentment in whatever the situation he was in. And if we can learn contentment, it means we're not going to be striving to be bettering ourselves all the time. We'll receive the blessings of God which come and rejoice in any blessing which comes our way. But we're not going to be making this our focus and our goal to get better off all the time. But if we're not careful, that's how we end up. We want more. And our bodies are tired, our souls are drained, our spirit is dying, and we have no energy for the things of God. God's life, his passion and dream has been sucked from us. Like weeds in a garden, our lives have been taken over. We all started off with such good intentions. We had dreams of cells, of 12s, of walking with the Holy Spirit, of family and marriage being transformed, of being part of a growing and thriving church which is going to, with others, impact this city and make a difference for the Lord. We wanted to impact our workplaces and our streets and anybody that came in touch with. We wanted to give to the poor. We wanted to be a blessing of God. But somehow all of that has been sucked from us. Because we've allowed distractions to come in and the weeds have sucked out the heart and the life of God. And we become less sensitive to spiritual things. Another dream has taken us over. And if we're not careful, we blame church or the vision of the church or those trying to care for us. But actually, it's us. And Jesus explains the reason. It's the soil, it's our heart. It's full of weeds. And we've become distracted. But the fourth category is good soil. We have a picture. The fourth category is good soil. A teachable, humble, open heart. The seed comes in and takes root. Our lives are changed. Next one, Rob, when you're ready. Our lives are changed. Our priorities are different. His life is flowing through us and producing fruit. There's been a true repentance. We decided to leave away that old life and embrace this new life. He's become our priority. Our hearts have opened up to all that he wants for us. People notice we're different and they wonder why. Our language is positive, not negative. We bring righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Spirit everywhere we go. Our hearts have been touched by God's love, and there's compassion and there's a love, and we want to share his love with others. We give generously. God's call, God's dream has become ours. We want to live our lives for him, and we look around and we find fruit is coming. We've not been trying so hard, but we've given him that priority. He's come into our lives. We're dwelling with him and he with us. The Holy Spirit is in us and we're producing fruit. And this parable is all about this here. Get rid of the rest of the stuff, because this is God's plan. Fruitfulness in our lives. Harvest is God's plan for each one of us. And we need to make, amen, and we need to make some choices. We need to make choices. Are we following God's dream? Are we sticking with ours? And I think I said last week, one lasts forever and one dies when we do. I think I know which one I want to give my life to. So church, I just felt to bring this to you. Let's be aware. Distractions come in so easily to steal the good things, all the good things, which the Lord wants to give to us. And this parable shows how practical 2,000 years later it is, and how it applies to us today. If we don't guard our heart, and the heart is the soil is the heart. We need a heart which is open, humble, teachable. We need to turn away from the other stuff, get those stones and boulders out, that seeds can be sown, and that fruit can come, and that Jesus can be glorified. I'll just end with one last text. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Paul said, well, it wasn't Paul, I don't know who said it. Therefore, let us throw off everything that hinders. Every distraction. And the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, and produce much fruit for his glory. Amen. 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 Let's pray. Can we stand together? Let's just pray together, and then we'll have a short little break. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you have plans from the youngest to the oldest, from the newest Christian to the oldest Christian, from those not yet saved to those which have been saved, it seems like all their lives. Lord, you have a plan and purpose for each one of us, not just as individuals, but as a bunch of people together, as LifeSpring Church together. And I want to ask, Lord, that you will help us just to search our hearts, to see what areas we need to deal with, what areas the enemy's got in, which is distracting us and causing us to be unfruitful. Because we know, Lord, your plan and purpose is that each of us bear much fruit and bring you much glory. So will you help us, Lord, to live our lives out in our homes, in the universities, in our schools, in the workplaces, in the streets, wherever we might be. Lord, that you receive the honor, you receive the glory, that we bring much fruit to you. And we hear at the end of our days, well done, LifeSpring. Well done, LifeSpring. Good and faithful servants. You've completed that work which God has called you to complete. Fill us with your Spirit, Lord.